Yo, 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 it's your boy Michael Trillteo, and I'm here with the Ghetto Flower, Fresh Flower Podcast. You already know what it is. Got my main man, co-host Q in the building. What's good, bro?
What's going on, bro? We at the Foxhole once again.
Yes, sir.
We got Josh behind the camera. We got Logan on the sounds, bro.
We got a whole team in here.
Exactly, bro. It's going to be a good one, bro.
Hell yeah. Super excited for this episode. But most importantly, I'm very excited for our very special guest today, the one and only LaSalle Grandeur. I'll go ahead and let you introduce yourself.
How you guys doing? LaSalle Grandeur here. Nice to be here.
Hell yeah. This is long overdue for sure. I know we've been in contact for many years now and never had a chance to really get you on the show. So actually super excited that you're here. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. But let's jump right in, man. So how's everything been, musically in your life? How you feeling today?
Today, I'm feeling ecstatic.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? For some reason, I get a lot of energy from skipping breakfast. So just keep it going. It keeps me thinking. And I'm just excited here to sit here and talk with my friends.
I feel you.
So you said you usually skip breakfast?
Yeah, I have this thing where I'm doing important stuff. I cannot eat.
Oh, okay.
So, it's a bad habit, but I'm just laughing about it. But yeah, it's like anytime show, interview, maybe just a studio session.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why. I'm just so focused on what I got to do that I'm excited for that I just forget to eat.
Okay.
So,
I feel you. And you've been a very busy man as of lately, bro. Listening party, release party. It's very cool seeing you, out here doing your thing. And like, just kind of like talk to us about that, bro. Like your whole listening party.
Man, my listening party for me was like eye-opener. I feel like as artists, we forget at times the support we have
mm-hmm.
from people and stuff like that. And I used to do a lot of open mics.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really do open mics anymore. So the closest thing I get to like a heat check to see if like songs are good and stuff is a listening party.
Right.
So you bring people together and like, yo, this one right here is hot. So I'm just like, I can get out my head about it.
Right, yeah, hell yeah.
These songs are cool. It's
mm-hmm.
It's not just my friends telling me they're cool, or it's not just me telling me like, oh, this is bad, because you listen to it so many times.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, the listening party was like a cool thing. And then the release show I had was like dope too. Cause like, I'd be forgetting, like I hadn't performed for a minute. So I'd just be forgetting like people that really come to my shows and look for like an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And all that. And there's a lot of people that always come afterwards with just listening to my music or just see me at the show like, yo.
Hell yeah.
Like, I really feel connected to you. Like, you're not like every other artist. Like, it feels like you're one of us. Like, I can mm-hmm. actually sit there and talk to you and you're not just talking down at me.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And the reason I wanted to start here is because, we got Josh here and I seen that video that he did of the whole listening party and just seeing that shit. I'm all like, this is just so cool, And like you having that time at your listening party, when you first started out, like, did you ever think that, you could have this much, love and appreciation towards your music? Because we're starting from the kind of the recent, then we're going to go back. You feel me?
Yeah, so. Yes and no.
I feel you.
Because I started rapping in high school. So mm-hmm. I've been rapping or making music in general for like over 10 years now or something
mm-hmm.
like that. And in high school, like, I wanted to just be cool. So I'm just like, yeah, man, like, I'm be the dopest person ever. So of course, like, mm-hmm. my ego is just like, yeah, everybody's gonna love my music, one day and all that. And then, but even still, like, I talk about my mental health all the time and stuff like that. So, but then, like, it's that other side of me, like, where my depression will eat at me and be like, nobody cares. Mm-hmm. So, it's a duality of trying to find a balance in between that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so it's yes and no. But seeing that at the listening party was a very, like, all right. This is a yes moment. I appreciate, shout out Josh. I know he's behind the camera, but like, I appreciate like Josh getting all the clips he could. One of the coolest clips in there was like Corrali's clip.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, this is a very strong foundation. Like a lot of artists wish they had this.
Right.
Seeing that back
right.
And watching, I was like, mm-hmm. It hit my heart. Like,
Yeah.
Exactly. And I love that. It's the foundation. And where did that all start? You know what I'm saying? With you making music and you, you know what I'm saying? Like, I guess, you know, finding, you know, your way in this, you feel me? So like, when did you like, I guess, you know, start out, bro?
Technically, like, again, high school, I started out as like, I've always been quote unquote alternative. Like, mm-hmm. I've always wanted to make different music, never like the status quo of what rap is, mm-hmm. Just because of who my favorite artists are. But I started out like, I had like friends in high school. These guys named Nick and Jamal. Mm-hmm. They're still like two of my, like some of my closest friends. I right. But, like, I started rapping with them. And it was just always competitive. Like, it was, I came from like that cloth of like, oh, I'm trying to bar you out on a track, or I'm trying to.
Oh, help. So
you know what I'm saying?
You should bar, rapping. Yeah.
Not rapping at all?
Yes. we like, you know, it eventually evolved into like things like in high school, I was doing spoken word, and then the branch of spoken word was like hip hop wing. So a lot of my friends that I started making out music with was like hip hop wing.
Got it.
So it was like, it's this guy in the city named Def C. I don't know if you guys ever heard of Def C, but Def C was my mentor in high school.
Okay.
And stuff. So we just came from that cloth of just trying to, you know, iron sharp or iron type thing. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you suck, bro. This verse was not good. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. write a better verse. And mm-hmm. if I didn't come from that, I probably wouldn't be so critical and like make the music I do now.
I feel
and,
you.
Starting out there is the reason why I have like such a strong foundation of like, I just got to be the best at what I do. You yep. know, I don't really care about beating other rappers now, but it's like, you know, you put me on a track with somebody, I'm not going to get smoked. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
I'm gonna
right.
I'm going to hold my own, but I try to be my best artist in my own right of like, I'm the shit.
Yeah.
I feel you. You can't tell me different. Like,
so,
I'm.
So that built that competitive, yeah. that competitiveness.
Yeah. So, you talked about like, you know, starting out in high school. What were you listening to back then?
In high school? Yeah. I was listening like, people call it backpack rap, but whatever was popular in the blog era. So, okay. like, I was just like, I don't know, what, like, Kendrick, Drake, yeah. Kid Cudi's my, like, all-time favorite artist. Ranton, don't make that Ranton's face. But, you know, Big Sean was one. Mm-hmm. A lot of people might forget him, but, like, XV.
XV.
Oh, yeah, XV, XV.
Shout out XV.
Damn, yeah, wherever you are, bro. Okay, shout out to
XV, come on the show.
Bro. Yeah, exactly. Dude, no. XV. That's crazy.
XV was, like, tangent, slight tangent, but XV was, like, one of the first artists, like, of my favorite artists from high school that gave me, like, yo, dude, you're dope.
You're
like,
cool, you know, damn. So
I still talk to him from time to time on Instagram cool. and stuff like that. But he's still doing things. He does, like, a lot of stuff around his hometown of Wichita in, like, Kansas.
Yeah,
like that.
Dude.
But, like, yeah, just, like, a lot of Mac Miller.
Mm-hmm,
can't forget
yeah.
Big Mac. But, like, yeah, like, all the artists that were popular in, like, the blog era around, like,
yeah.
2009 up to, like, 2012
mm-hmm.
is what I was listening to a lot then in terms of rap. But I listened to, like, a lot of different stuff.
When
like,
you were in high school starting out, what was your name? Did you go by LaSalle Grandeur? Or
no, I wasn't LaSalle Grandeur in high school. So originally, I think my rap name around the time was Kid T. Like it was Kid T.
And just how did you spell it?
It was KIDTEE. It was like it was homage to like funny, it's like not homage to Travis Scott, but how Travis Scott made his name. So like my favorite artist was Kid Cudi, and then mm-hmm. my dad's nickname was T.
Okay.
So it was like an homage to like both of it.
Oh, okay.
So then eventually I was like, you know what? Drake goes by Drake, and that's his middle name. So why don't I just do LaSalle? So then I was LaSalle with a dollar sign.
Okay.
So yeah, that was my thing for his.
How did the Grandeur?
Uh-huh.
So that happened. Okay. So
evolved.
Yeah. You know.
He evolved.
So Pokemon.
When I used to go by Thy Lassa, so THY Lassa.
Uh-huh.
that's some Shakespeare shit.
So I used to be very into Greek mythology and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to like try to like put that into like my branding around while I was like Thy Lassa. I used to be like Thy Lassa, the demigod and stuff like this. And like, you know, that's where like my Instagram name comes from, like Lasa is yours, because thine English is yours. Because like, you know, I make music for myself, but I feel like it's pointless if I'm not giving it to other people. Like, right. That's why I'm so personal in my music and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually I just felt like I just didn't feel like Thy Lasa anymore. Like I felt like I just wasn't me anymore. So if y'all don't know, LaSalle in French means the room. It means the room. And grandeur is like greatness. So how I kind of look at it is like the room of greatness. So whenever like I perform or things like that, it's very important for me to make people feel great about themselves. Not just myself, but like in terms of music and like, you know, leave feeling great from the room, you know? So that's just how I came up with it.
Damn, that's hard, bro.
Yeah, that is. That is.
Yeah, I'm fucking with that. I'm fucking with that.
So
when you kind of settled, when you kind of evolved to having your name as that, like, how did you know, like, this is kind of like how did you know, like, this is the sound you wanted? Because like, I know it's so hard to find your sound, and like, you carved it out, bro. You feel me? So like, how did you know?
See, the crazy thing is y'all saying that is just, I'm just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like good when people just be like, oh man, like you sound like you now. Like this is you. Uh-huh. And I'm just, to me, I've been like, I feel like I've been sounding like me for like years, you know? Mm-hmm. Like obviously you're going to always take influence from like your favorite artists and all that. But like even from when I quote unquote sucked, like to me in my head, I'd still always feel like I sounded like myself.
Mm-hmm.
So to me now, like making music and stuff, I'm just like, I just kind of make like what I'm feeling. Cause I do a bunch of different things. Like it's hard for me to do one thing, major ADHD and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just kind of go like, oh damn, I like this. I'll do this now. You know, like who knows what the next thing I'll do? Like I can do a whole R&B album. Who knows? You know?
I feel you.
That's what I feel.
I feel you. And that's having that range and, you know, fully being able to, you feel me, express yourself. And like, how did you, like, I guess, like, fall on, like, I guess that understanding of doing that? Because a lot of people, like, I feel like a lot of people fully don't know how to, you know, express themselves, or they feel like, you know, obviously they feel like they'll be judged if they express themselves.
I think just because of, like, it goes back to high school. Like my main goal, even when I was wanted to be like whatever swag rapper, cool rapper in high school, my main goal with music was always like, I want to save lives. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like you can save like lives in terms of music unless you're personal. And that's like what all my favorite songs have always been. My favorite songs have always been songs like with people spilling their heart out or just talking about just things you wouldn't even feel comfortable with, like the deep cuts of like albums and stuff like that, you know? So I feel like in order for me to do that, I had to just write about the things that make me uncomfortable.
Sure.
So a lot of times I don't even know what's like, what's going on with me until like I listen to like a song. If like I have to write alone, I have to make music alone. Like I can have studio sessions with people.
Mm-hmm.
And we can sit there and make beats and we can laugh and share ideas. But I need to write my music, like my lyrics myself. Cause like that's the only way I'm going to black out. Cause it's very important that like I type into like a zone that I'm not thinking about what I'm writing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm sitting there and I'm writing the stuff and I'm doing all that, like I'm having fun with it. Mm-hmm. And I listen to the song and I like it afterwards. And then I'd be like, oh, dude, I didn't even know that was what was wrong with me or something like that. You know,
it's like a form of
like self-therapy.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to ask. Yeah, that's for real. Self-therapy.
In your music, like, I really enjoy the fact that, you know, you kind of wear your heart on your sleeve. Like, you don't really hold back. And, you know, you're very vulnerable and you're very emotional. And I like that about your music. Do you ever, you know, feel like you're giving away too much? But do you ever feel like, you know, damn, that was a lot that I just gave him? How do you feel like when it comes to like, I guess, sharing that vulnerability with the world?
The songs I feel like I do too much on, they don't come out.
Okay.
So the ones that I let people have, I feel like this is good enough.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't.
What draws that line?
Right. I was just about to say that.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. It's kind of like when I feel like I'm getting too Eminem, if that makes sense. Because, you know, Eminem doesn't like back when Eminem was like popping, you know, in terms of like when he was popular, he wouldn't care about saying anybody's name.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like if I'm going like too deep of like I'm saying like exact names or like I'm talking too specific about a situation, I'm like, this don't need to see the light of day, you know? Like this could just sit to myself, you know? Okay. Or like
going Eminem is
that, you know what I'm saying? Like
going Eminem. I'm gonna call that going Eminem. That's funny as hell.
You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. Not like I have like a plethora of like diss tracks or something like that, but I mean like in terms of like just like, oh, this is a little too personal, my life. I don't, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to put that out there.
Yeah.
Cause like I wouldn't say one of my most emotional tracks that I have out is like on my album Tears, my last bonus track from there, Blood Brother.
Yeah.
So that was from my homie Dylan.
Yeah.
And that's hard for me to listen to. It's very hard for me to listen to. Like, I actually, like, I probably, like, cry anytime I listen to that song. Mm-hmm. That's how hard it is.
Yeah.
But when I wrote that, I was like, damn, this is one of the best songs. Me, personally, I feel like I ever wrote because it's, like, the emotional value put into it.
Hell,
you know?
Yeah.
That's dope.
So, yeah.
And that's big. Has anybody ever came up to you and, like, told you that any of your songs, like, affected them yet?
Yeah. I've heard that through the years since Kelly Summers, honestly.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah,
people be like, man, this, like, dude, I used to listen to this every day, like when I'm walking to class or something, or like, you know, Men Don't Cry, like Men Don't Cry, they be like,
hell yeah, hell yeah,
right there, like, man, dude, that gets me through it or something, like, you know what I'm saying?
Let's speak on that track because that was a good track, a great track. Tell us, I guess, walk us through like that creative process. What inspired you to make that song?
I hated that song when I originally made it.
Really?
Believe it or not. No, yeah. Dude, so...
Really? Damn.
Yeah, no, I did not like that song when I recorded it because I just felt like I was like... This is why it's important to have people to tell you like, no, this is raw. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But like, I didn't like that song when I first wrote it because I just felt like I was just... It was too vulnerable. You know what I'm saying? So, I went through something with somebody that doesn't really matter anymore. But... I felt like when I opened up emotionally to that person, they just left me out to dry,
mm-hmm.
you know? And when they originally came to me, because I say you didn't like the song, you know, I was here, you were there, blah, blah, blah type stuff. But when they came to me originally, I was like, therefore, I'm like, oh, you can be vulnerable, you can cry to me. But I feel like when I did the same thing, it was like, oh, can't fuck with you, you know? And I feel like, you know, like as men, you know, especially as like black men, like sometimes we just get told by the world, like you can't cry. Like, don't let people see you emotional. Nobody wants to hear this and this, that, and the third. So I'm just like, when I wrote that song, I was like, you know, it was a blackout moment. So I was just writing it. I was writing it. And then like, I recorded and shout out my homie Meeks. You know what I'm saying? When I was, recording it at Classic with Darwin. I was like, you know, singing it and I'm just like, I ain't fucking with this. I was just like, I'm not liking it. They just like, what are you talking about? Like this a bop.
Uh-huh.
You know? So I was just like, again, shout out Meeks, but like Meeks in general, like he's like a big reason certain songs make albums.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
He'd be like, nah, bro, you gotta put this on there. And then he's the reason Men Don't Cry made it on there. Like, I was very like, nice. I don't wanna put this on there. Like, I don't think people gonna like this. And then it turns out to be one of my most popular songs.
Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
That's dope. Another track I wanted to ask you about too was it's one of your older tracks, but Heartless.
Heartless.
Sorry.
Pointless?
Pointless. I apologize.
No,
Pointless. Another track that I've seen you perform a few times at shows, and this one that you always try to get like the crowd into to sing the melodies and stuff. Where did that track come from? What point made you feel like something was pointless or something you were trying to achieve was pointless?
I'm trying to think where I was at that point, like, cause I was like, what?
Yeah, that's an older track.
That's 2019.
Yeah.
Pointless. Damn, where was I at, dude? I was listening to a lot of Juice WRLD. So I was listening to a lot of Juice WRLD around that time.
It's juiced up.
A lot of Juice WRLD. I don't think I could have wrote that if I wasn't listening to Juice WRLD.
Uh-huh.
To be honest. I think honestly, not to make a pun, but I just felt like everything I was doing was pointless at that time, you know? But for some reason, in writing Pointless, I was just like, how do we... Like, Pointless was when everything connected to me. Like, how do I not make just sad songs? Like, you know what I'm saying? How do I make, like... I can talk about vulnerable things, but, like, people don't notice because it's a jumpy song, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Because before I... did Pointless and all that. I dropped like a project in like 2018 called Blur. And that was like my last, like, I don't want to make super sad songs anymore. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I know a lot of people wouldn't even know what that is. But when I wrote Pointless, it was just like, all right, I want to talk about the same stuff I'm talking about, but I want to feel like the crowd can, like, something to jump to.
Hell yeah. The energy.
You know, so that's just how that came about. I can't remember exactly where I was at, but, you know, if I would go back and read the lyrics, I'd be like, oh, this is where I was at. Probably just sad or something. I don't know.
That's interesting that you said, like, I don't want to make no more sad songs. Like, how do you, like, kind of, like, find a balance between that, you know? Because I know you look at it as more of like a, you know, kind of like more of like a therapy, more of like a... kind of more of like a meditative state.
Well, so in terms of like, because I know when people listen to my lyrics and like they break down like my words or something, like, yo, are you okay? Like, I know people. So it's just like sad songs. But like in terms of like the energy or the vibration of it, the song, you know, the vibes.
Yeah.
Everybody says today. Like if I'm feeling like the song is like draining me to that point where I'm just like, like... that's where I feel like it's too sad, you know, because I'm just like something like on my album, like Whispering the Wind, right? Mm-hmm. So when I wrote that song, like in terms like Whispering the Wind is a sad song, you know, it's like me just trying to find my way, but it has like a beautiful atmosphere to it, you know what I'm saying? But a lot of my older songs, like in terms of like, it just be too dark, and I feel like it's very hard for me to even get into it. So if I can barely get into it, how do I expect other people to get into
it? Right.
Do you listen to your own music?
Yeah, I got to. Like, I have to. If I don't do it, I feel like I'm going to lose touch with myself. Like, I will go back and listen to songs I made in high school because it reminds me of, like, how far I've come. I feel like... a lot of times artists say like, oh, I don't listen to my own music or this, that, and the third. Or like they just be like, oh, I'm just going to keep making new songs. I feel like I don't think like you're trying to get better that way if you're not like critiquing yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like this project I made, I probably have, it's been through like 6 iterations and I didn't listen to like it over like 100 times before it even was called A Ghost of Self. You know what I'm saying? So I listen to my music probably too much.
I feel you.
Study yourself.
Yeah. But it's to get better.
Yeah, if you for real watching the game tape, you just going back watching the tape. Yeah, you watching film, bro. But no, that's so dope. And like, yeah, speak on your project, bro. Like, how did you come about your project? And what made you want to drop, you know, more music now, bro?
I feel like I had this thing going where I would drop a project every year. And then, well, since 2019, I felt like that. But then after, like, I dropped Tears, I was very, like, I did the indie rock thing for myself. Like, I was just, like, because I listened to, like, rock music and stuff like that, you know? So I was just, like, okay, I did this. What do I do next? And then I don't like being in a box, which is, to my benefit and to my detriment. You know what I'm saying? I hate feeling, like, unpredictable or, like, oh, this is just... who this is. So, you know, like over like since Tears, I was just working on like a concept of like what I'm gonna do. Originally, like the project was gonna be like something called a Proud of You. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I have like a bunch of voice clips from the project of like people sending me like what they're proud of or something like that. But it started like losing like what I felt like that name was gonna mean. And I was like, I started noticing like in my lyrics, like a lot of stuff I was writing, I was like just talking about ghost or like just something like something like Phantom or something like that, you know? So sometimes it's just about listening to what your subconscious is telling yourself.
Right.
Just trying to define, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it just sounded like when I would listen to songs, it just sounded like I wasn't myself anymore. So hence the ghost of self. Like it just was feeling like I was see-through, like, or I was like out of body. Like I'm looking at somebody but I'm looking at myself, but that's not who I am.
Right.
So how do I get back to that? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I kind of came up with the concept.
For sure. One thing I noticed about your project, and, you know, I guess in contrast to some of your projects in the past, you know, your collaboration. I love that you collaborate with a lot of different people. How difficult or how easy was it, I guess, deciding who to bring on board with you for this journey and releasing this project in regards to like features or production? What was the sort of thought process
behind
that selection?
Kind of.
Yeah, you had a dope rollout, by the way.
Thank you.
You had a dope rollout, by the way, for real.
Appreciate it. If you pay attention, like the features on the project, it's literally people that are probably like some of my closest friends. I don't really go outside of my sphere of who I work with, because, you know, I don't see the point in it. Meeks was like a big part of it, like in the beginning, and my girlfriend too, like Molly. Like in the beginning of like when I was just sitting in the studio and just making songs and stuff, those two would be there the whole time, just sitting there like watching and listening to me like do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So over time, it just kind of like I'd be like, all right, let's bring this person in or let's do this. Like, you know, because it's very hard for me. I told you I like to write alone. So it's hard for me to be like, let's bring somebody else in. Because, like, you know, on Tears, I didn't have no features. I did it all myself. You know what I'm saying? So I could have just sat there and did that. But I was just like, now let's try to get this person to sing this or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen to suggestions. Like, listen to, like, you know, your village talking to you and not just be like, oh, I know what I'm doing all the time. Because I'm very big, like, I know what I'm doing, but then that's just me being a knucklehead. And then after I get over that, I'll be like, okay, you guys are right. Let me take your advice.
Hell yeah.
This would be cool if somebody sung like this, or maybe I should say this like this, or like write this song like this, you know?
So
to get like, you know, Anessa was like probably like the most out there person, like in terms of my people that are close with me.
Okay. Anessa Rivera.
Yeah. Anessa, like, you know, I would met her, I can't remember what show I met her at, but I met her through a mutual friend. I was like, oh, okay, she makes music, so then I listened to her. I was like, oh God, her voice is dope. So I was just like, I could start hearing like, oh, she would sound cool like this, like here. So that's why she's kind of like all over. Like she's on like three songs and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? And then in terms of like, I want to say like in people having like a verse, I think Mello's the only one that has a verse.
Okay,
Mello's like,
it's just sample.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's in terms of like somebody got their home, whole thing. Other than that, I definitely wrote like every single word besides Mello's verse, like every melody, everything. Like, I wrote everything. And it's just like allowing and being comfortable with people singing my words for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Is that ever something you like thought about doing professionally, like songwriting?
Yeah, I've thought about it. I just don't know how to get into it. But I thought about like, oh, okay, you know.
For sure.
But yeah.
That's dope. Yeah, no, you had a lot of dope people involved. Like, I saw you had Mariah Colon. She was a guest.
Yeah, see, that's why Mariah also. Mariah wrote her own stuff too.
You had Roe Moore, Geogenesis. So you had a lot of heavy hitters on there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it to a point where like you wanted to, I guess, dial down or dial it back a little bit on the amount of guests that you had? Or
I didn't notice how many features until
I... Not saying it's a bad thing.
No, I did. I don't think you're saying it like that. But I didn't notice how many features I had until I made the track list. So I was like, oh, it's like, oh, damn.
That's a lot of dope features.
Like, Geo, man, shout out Geogenesis. That's my dude. When I was sending my demo of my project around, so how that one came about, when I was sending the demo of my project around, Geo and Ro were two people I sent the project to. And Geo was like, dude, like, I really connect with, like, this song. Like, keep your stories. So I was just like, originally because it was me singing the hook, but I still wanted somebody else to sing the hook because I was like, somebody could do it better.
Yeah.
And then I was like, Geo, why don't you do it? You know what I'm saying? He's like, oh, hell yeah. So then he did it. And then I was just like, still needs more, needs more to it. And so then I was like, oh, you know what, Morgan? Because I heard there, I think it was on, I can't remember. I think it was on Kale's project.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think they were together on Kale's
project. Yeah. They got like, a hard song. Yeah.
These two blend together very well. So I was just like, why not? You know what I'm saying? Why not just make it happen again? They were both open to it. So that's what that happened, you know?
Nice.
Ro mixed Keep Your Stories, but then like me and Ro are still trying to figure out more what we want to do. But you know, on the other song I sent him, I was just like, yeah, what more could this song need? And he was like, well, it could need vocals and like a cool synth here. And I was like, you want to do it? And so then, yeah. So it just, it felt like things happen like naturally and not like, I'm like, just do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's like people wanted to do it.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Not that like, I'm just begging people to do it. Like they were like, oh, this is raw. Like, yeah, I'll hop on this type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And how does that feel to like actually have like, you know, more people like, you know, in your corner, like helping you out because you're not doing this by yourself, you know what I'm saying, anymore. You got so many people now that I see now that be helping you with shit and it's coming out so good, bro. Like, and you know, I want to commend you on that. Like the work is like really looking dope. You feel me? So like, how's that feel now?
Feels heartwarming.
Hell
just
yeah.
To make it, put it as plain and simple. It's just heartwarming. Like, I'm just like, sometimes I'll be like doing things alone so much that you can start to convince yourself that you are alone.
Yeah.
And you're not.
Yeah.
You have so many people, but when you're just, you know, not to repeat myself, but you know, you convince yourself that you're alone and then it takes like, you know, those people to be like, yo, like, we're here for you. You know what I'm saying? And so I thank them for that. I thank like everybody for that.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. Cause like I'm telling you, like your whole project from top to bottom, and like I told you, your rollout, like, you know, mad dope. And like you bring up, you know, we talk about Ghost of Self. Like, did you have any Kid Cudi inspiration through that?
I mean, I feel like I can't help it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I don't just think passive. No. When I named the project Ghost of Self, it wasn't like I was listening to like Kid Cudi, but like I just feel like that part of like, you know, that's my favorite artist.
Hell yeah.
So like it's just going to happen.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I feel you.
It's gonna happen. So there's not much I can do about it. Like
I had to throw that in there. but your favorite track off there, bro. Like which one resonates with you the most, bro?
Dude, I don't know. It switches around all the time.
Really, really. Yeah. Which one are you feeling right now, bro? Cause that's the same with me. Like when I go through an album, it's crazy. Like I'll listen to it. I'll be listening to 5 songs for like 3 months.
Yeah.
Then I play it again. I'm like, damn, like these two right here are my favorite now. Like, damn.
Yeah, the sleepers.
Yeah. So what's your favorite right now?
To be honest, my personal favorite right now is probably I'm Alive.
Ooh.
I like that one. I just
is that the Day and Night one?
Yeah, that's the
day and night. Okay. Yep.
I noticed you had like multiple names for certain songs. What was the reason behind that? some duality.
I don't know. Sometimes people call songs other names.
Yeah.
So like Sunshine. It was gonna just be called Sunshine, but I don't know. But then the hook was like, feeling like an outcast, an outlaw.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, sometimes people be like, oh, what's the song like? Outcast.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
you know, things
I
like
get
that. You know what I'm saying?
So I'm Alive is your favorite one, though?
Yeah, that's personally my favorite right now. But it like, I feel like my most well put together song on there is probably Wisp in the Wind.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that when I originally started working on it, I was like, damn, this one. Because originally when I started working on that beat, it was like it was called Damn, This Bitch Beautiful. That was the name of the beat. So I was like, damn. So then as I kept working on it, like, ah, damn, this is a beautiful song. So yeah.
The Wisp in the Wind.
I fuck with I don't know, Tahoe.
Yeah. Oh my god.
What's the actual name? Because I know it has two names.
No, I call it Tahoe. Okay. But like people are like, oh, don't call it Tahoe. Don't name it after a car. And I was like,
that one hits hard. You was actually rapping on there too a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, be a little personal. So in terms of like Trusted Angels, Tahoe.
Trusted Angels, yep.
Yeah.
I made that one, you know, the day my mom died. So oh, wow. Like, yeah. So I woke up, my brother texted me. And he's like, yo, you need to pick up. And then like he, you know, he calls me and I'm just like, yo, what's going on? He's like, yo, my dad. And I'm just like, damn. So now I just kind of was like, I don't know, my body just told me to go to my laptop. I just kind of just went whatever, and I just kind of started like making the beat. And so I just started like.
So you made that beat?
Yeah, I made that. I made that. And Aaron Doe, like, he just made my drums better. Like, I structured and everything that beat. And I had my homie Mike play like a guitar sample that flam. But like, yeah, like I just was like, no, no. I was like, this sounds dope. And then I started noticing myself saying like Tahoe a lot. And my dad, you know, he died when I was younger too, but my dad used to drive Tahoe when I was a kid all the time. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of was like, it kind of was like a song made for both of them.
Right, right.
You know?
Damn, that's dope.
And it just, I didn't force it. It just happened, mm-hmm. you know? And yeah, so that's just how that one came about.
That's dope. Yeah, I think that's my favorite on there. And then the single Madness, I think that's about definitely like, I feel like that might be like the hit on there, in my opinion.
No, that's fine.
And then obviously the track with Mello as well, good track. But no, man, I really enjoy the project. You mentioned like the roller. I wanted to talk about the cover art. I think the cover art is super clean and like very like mysterious and on brand for you. Can you talk a little bit about like the creative direction behind that?
I'm just gonna say, shout out my girlfriend Molly. she thinks of like a lot of stuff. Not gonna lie, I just kind of be like, I think, like, I'll go on Pinterest and I'll be like, oh, I think these look cool. And then I'll be like, can we do something like this? And he's like, okay, well, you got to be a little more descriptive. I'll be like, but I don't know. Can you just... And then she figures it out. You know what I'm saying? So
that's why you need a team.
That, you know what I'm saying? So that's thanks to my girlfriend. You know what I'm saying? So that's her. You know what I'm saying? I determine, like, this one should be the cover art. You know what I'm saying? But she the one that takes... Like the pictures and stuff like that,
Yeah, because I'm telling you, bro. Like it's
art matters, bro.
Yeah, exactly, and it's for sure a well put together piece of work, bro. And we for sure gonna be, you know what I'm saying, playing it. Do you have any other like things you're about to get? Any other things you're about to have this year, as far as like shows or anything else?
At the moment, nothing to announce. Nothing mm-hmm. else. I'm just kind of seeing how the project does.
I feel you.
Like, you know what I'm saying? We're thinking of merch right now. Stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, nothing to announce at this moment. We're just letting people enjoy the experience.
Sit with the project. I feel you, bro. But we appreciate you sliding. You got any other questions, bro?
Nah, gang.
He said, no, okay.
We took a good sip of Topo Chico set.
But I feel you, bro. But we'll end on that note. I appreciate you sliding, bro. Ghost of Self, bro. Y'all stream that up for real. Cause great project, bro. Great rollout. Like, I appreciate you sliding, bro, for real.
Man, yeah, we're down that note.
Fresh Flowers Podcast. We out. Burr. Bow.